cheerfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. When love and faithfulness meet, something beautiful and living begins to happen. When righteousness and peace kiss each other, when faithfulness springs up and righteousness meets it, the righteousness of God, then we have harvest. So that's the end of the sermon. Sadly, at this point, you have to go back to the beginning. So the words there, God will yield a harvest. And we've got farmers here who know far more about harvest than I do. I never have, never was very good in the garden. But it's, you know, for harvest to happen, certain things need to happen first. As we heard in the sketch, we first have to sow seeds. But of course, you know, what sort of seed will depend on the type of harvest that you get. And you're going to realize I'm trying to make a parallel right the way through this between the earthly things and us, our lives, our communities, you know, what's our families. What seeds are we sowing? And what is going to be growing? I mean, I look at my children and I thank God that they didn't just have my seeds. Because they've grown up quite nice. I think you all know why. Thank you, Debbie. You know, but in your own life, what are you sowing? Are you happy with what you're sowing? Many times we're not. Many times I'm not happy with what I'm sowing because I'm impatient. I don't know about you. Some of your best friends may be at the moment queuing, you know. I can't queue in a supermarket. I mean, I do quite respect the Queen and all of that, but I'm like, wow! Would I be able to sow that seed of quiet commitment? Right, so we know that we need seed. Of course, what are the seeds? What are your heart bringing up? But of course, those seeds have to fall on good ground. You know, if you could take a seed here and chuck it here, it wouldn't grow. You could put as much water on it as you like. You'd get in trouble with the property group. But it wouldn't grow because this is not seed growing, that sort of seed growing land. Okay? So you need good soil. But as we heard in that parable of the sower, that is by no means guaranteed. Okay? So, path, rocks, thorns, those are real stuff. And I want you to think about, you know, yes, of course, well, I'm, of course, the good soil, but all of those others are the bad soil. No. I don't know about you, but there's moments when I'm perhaps part of the good soil. I have the privilege of having helped some to come to faith, even here and at Winscombe. I was part of the good soil, but I was part of the other stuff too. We all know that. And I want to say, it's not that I'm trying to be judgmental on you. I'm just being honest. If we want a harvest, I mean, what can you do about the person that lives at number 38 Broad Street. I don't even know if there is a 38 Broad Street. And if any of you live at 38 Broad Street, I apologize. You can do nothing, okay? What you can do is about yourself and ensure that you are, or at least that you are becoming more of that good soil. Look at the harvest and we can be honest and say, it's pretty bare. For some reason in this country, for the last over 100 years, since before the First World War, The harvest of Christian life has been declining. We can pretend that isn't the case. And there are little churches here and there that are growing. But if you look across the East, harvests have been pretty slim. I went to a minister's conference for the URC recently. And one of the things, actually, that my old Sunday school teacher told us, he was then the general secretary of this, that and the other, and actually was the chair of Churches Together in England later on, you know, David Cornick is his name. And he said an interesting thing. He's a historian, and he's looked at this, and he said to us as ministers, it's not your fault. And you know what? That felt really quite good, because it's obviously all your fault. We're living, and we have lived, through a really barren time in terms of harvest. Now, thanks be to God, there has been some growth. I have personally have had the privilege of seeing folk come to faith. There's a young girl from my previous church who's been baptized next week. I can't do it. But, you know, praise the Lord for that. But it's been a difficult time. So we have to be realistic about that. And then ask ourselves, okay, what are we going to do about it? Now, don't get me wrong, I realize this is a harvest Thanksgiving service, so I don't want to be too hard on you, and it is right for us to give thanks. And as I say, I'm making this comparison between the earthly harvest and a spiritual harvest, as Jesus does in the parable. And if you're not giving thanks for the earthly harvest, it's going to be tough to move on to the next. It is one of the things that God gives us to help me to move from being, what will I go with, stony ground to good ground, is the beauty of creation. You know, funny enough, just looked out the window. I love that view. That view has all sorts of images for me. Particularly, I can remember when a guy called Philip Gennard who came and he looked out and he said, cows! You know, what do you expect, mate? You know, but the glory of creation softens my heart. Most of the time, I ignore it. So it's quite funny, actually. I'm preaching around at the moment. Sounds a bit like sleeping around, but not quite as dodgy. So I'm preaching around at the moment. I keep on being given flowers. And they say, for your wife. Well, I like flowers too. She's not even bothered to come. She's going worshipping somewhere else, like she used to with you here. But people don't think that men are allowed to like flowers. I like flowers. Any other men like flowers? Okay. Yeah, I mean, these are good. And the smell of them. I was just sat here, I don't know what it was, carrots or... Actually, I think it was... It's good, isn't it? All these things are good. If you don't give thanks for the earthly things, it'll be really hard to change your heart to be the good soil that God wants you to be. And you know, all of this stuff is great, but look around you, the people, you know, I don't know this lady, if I do, I really apologize. You know, we're all made in the image of God. You know, flowers speak of God. I guarantee you people will. Open your hearts to that which is around you if you want to be moving from the path, from the rocks, from the thorns, to being the good ground that God can use to bring blessing to others. Apparently this year has been a relatively good harvest. I don't know if Marshall would agree. I was reading some stuff online, the only place you get information from nowadays. Apparently the yield was a little bit lower because of low moisture. Who would have thought? but actually, apparently the harvest in this country has been reasonable. We can give thanks for that. Obviously around the world, we don't really know what the harvest is like in Ukraine, where a lot of stuff comes from, or from Russia, where an awful lot of our stuff came from. But what we do know is the effects upon the harvest that we receive, and God forbid what some of the poorer nations are receiving, means that things are very, very difficult this year. This is going to be a hard time for people. And we need to think to ourselves, for with whatever we've got, in this hard time, do we store it up? I think Jesus told a story about this, didn't he? Do we store it up? Or do we try and be generous? Now, I don't know. I don't know your family situation. I don't know your neighbor's situation. I don't know what you're doing as a whole church or churches. But I would say now is the time to be sharing what we have, to see if we can help the harvest for others. I remember when I was at university, we went to one of our ethics teachers, and we were having this argument about whether we should give 50p to a tramp. And we were all arguing, you know, because that's what we did. And the teacher just said, look, without being funny, guys, if you can't even decide whether or not to give 50p to a tramp, don't bother training for ministry. I mean, it may be the right thing, it may be the wrong thing, just do it. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes it's that thing where sometimes we have to go with what our gut leads us. And there will be people that you can bless. You know, it's very often the ones that have the least that are the best at blessing the most. So, it's going to be a hard time. But I do believe we give thanks for the earthly harvest. And then we are praying for the spiritual harvest, for seeds sown and planted in people's lives. Like I said, as with this year, difficult time. We've been in 100 years plus of difficult times. Maybe things are about to change. I'm not actually a prophet, but we've certainly been through a time like I've never seen in my life. You know, the pandemic, oh my stars. And even now this outpouring, I don't know what's going to come from all of that. As a nation, I'm slightly Republican. I've moved. I'm a little bit more of a monarchist than I used to be. Is that just a temporary thing? I don't know. You know, but there is something happening in our country. Where it will lead, maybe that depends on our prayers. I don't know. Have those conversations with people, because people are thinking and people's hearts are being changed through all we've been through in the last year. I mean, frankly, if Fred Cowgill can be at church here, sorry for those who don't know Fred, you know, people can change, even in a time of difficult harvest. So, what can we do about all of this? Consider the type of soil we are. As I say, we often assume that we must have been the good soil. After all, here you are in church. But are we really? Look at your life. I mean, I've got to be honest, my life has paths. When Tony was reading the reading, I often have this, that when I've read the reading hundreds of times in the week, and then you hear it read by someone else, and I love it, I get something different out of it. So I'm trying to sort of think, well, I've got this thing about paths and stones and rocks, so I'm trying to talk to you about today. And then I realise it's actually, sorry Debbie, pretend you're not here. It's all about how well I listen to Debbie. If the seed is going to go in, you know, you've got to hear it, haven't you? How often does that happen? Don't even answer that, Debbie. Because she'll be doing, and I'm like a path. I don't know what that path is. Well, if the telly's on, it's a complete path. If the telly's on, you can throw as much stuff as you like, I'm not going to hear it. If it's the football, is there something harder than a path? Or I'm doing something. I've got my things that I'm doing. Oh, yes, dear, yes, dear, yes, dear. Yeah? Are you with me? Anyone relate to that? I'm not 100% sure women listen any more than men do, but we just never pick them up on it. So there we are. Because we haven't remembered what we've said, let alone how that might have gone. So, oh dear, I've offended. So you see what I'm saying? My life has got all sorts of paths. My life has got all sorts of rocks. and the thorns, the stuff that we get involved with, which twists us and pulls us down. Now, I need to examine my heart and look at myself so that I'm not, or at least there are times when I'm not in that, just in those positions. Because it's not just about hearing my wife. How am I going to be in a relationship with God? I mean, honestly, Lord, if the telly's on, just don't bother. If I'm trying to tidy up my room, oh my Lord, I'm never going to hear you, Lord, because I'm just going to look at it. I'm not going to do anything. Just going to look at it and move something there. And there, but it, you know, all of those different things that we, and you're different from me. We're all different, but we've all got paths. We've all got rocks. And we've all got things that we allow ourselves to get mixed up in, which twist us and take the life out of us. Now, I've been reading a couple of books recently, one called The Practice of the Presence of God. And this is by a wonderful monk, Brother Lawrence, hundreds of years ago. And it didn't matter what he was doing. He cultivated, I use that word advisedly, he cultivated an awareness of the presence of God. And then he could do anything. You know, he was one of these people that, you know, whatever he was, he particularly spoke about when he was in the kitchen, cleaning up all the mess from all the other monks, he would be radiant in the presence of God. That's me. There's a different place. It's the same place. I mean, I'm looking, and I, you know, some of you got children. Wow, I had children when I was here. It's so hard to sort of concentrate on anything in that situation, isn't it? We lift them up to you, Lord, before I break them. You know, how do we cultivate the presence of God when we're running around with all those things? Now, it's not that those things are wrong, but actually God doesn't say, right, I'll meet you on Sunday. You just sort out the kids and your work life and all the other things. I'll meet you on Sunday, okay? See you then. That's not the God we believe in. The God we believe in says, I'll never leave you. I'm always with you. Just, come on. I know you're struggling with that. Bring me in. Let me in. Become that place where my love can grow in you more, to transform you into my presence. The other book that I'm trying to read a little bit as well is a book called 24/7 Prayer. It's about the 24/7 prayer. It's called How Do I Pray? You'd have thought I'd been a minister 30-odd years. You'd have thought I could have prayed now, couldn't you? You would have thought, yes. But it's brilliant, I think. It just takes the word prayer. It doesn't actually take the word prayer at all. It just takes the word pray, because there's only four things to it. And the first is the P. You want to cultivate, if you want to move from being stone, path, thorns, to good soil, pause is the P. You would imagine that don't even go there. And when I pause, my mind goes, bing, 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 bing. Pause. It's mindfulness. Meditation, if you want, whatever. Pause. Step two, rejoice. Think of all the things that you have seen that are good, of the love that you've received, of whatever it might be. Rejoice. I like the third one. It's ask. Ask God, Lord, for whatever it might be that God puts on your heart. You can ask, but the why is to yield. We don't always get what we ask for, but being in that place where you can yield, where you can let go of your will. Do you remember? I think someone we love said that, didn't they? Not my will, but your will be done. I find that really helpful. And the 24/7 prayer movement, if you don't know about it, it is a fantastic, simple, but awesome movement, and I would encourage you. So, the good news is I'm now back to Psalm 85. And there is a chance for us to practice just a little of that prayer. Sorry, of that pray. Pause, reflect, ask, yield. So I'm going to read Psalm 85. It's called Revive Us Again. What that basically means is wake us up. And I've been going on for a long time, so wake up. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Restore us, restore us again, O God of our salvation. And put away your indignation towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation, his freedom, is near to those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps a way. I was preparing for this sermon, and I've been in Cambridge all week at a minister's training conference. Again, I've been a minister 32 years. You'd have thought I'd know what to do by now. And there was a very young minister. She'd literally just graduated, and she was doing a little session for us, and she was talking about needing to find that way of rhythm, of stopping, of balance. And she encouraged us to do an exercise, which was just to breathe. Always a good idea. And it was just to concentrate on your breathing. And we're gonna see some music or hear some music and a PowerPoint in a moment with some words from this psalm. But when she was saying this, I was like, she said, "Oh, choose this word, that word." For me, it was the words here: love and faithfulness. Righteousness and peace, the two the togethers. Faithfulness springs up. Righteousness looks down, because this is the meeting place with God. Now, if we're going to be good soil, there's one real requirement. You're all going to be different. There's a few courgettes and cabbages and whatever we are. But if we are not meeting with God, we will be withering. And so what I did, and what I'm going to encourage you to do, is just to breathe. And what I did was I tried to breathe in God's righteousness. And I know that I cannot be filled with God's righteousness unless I am spreading peace and love to others. So as I breathed in I tried to breathe in on the word righteousness, and I just breathed out on the word peace. You might choose love. To receive the love of God and say, "I want to live in faithfulness." Or faithfulness, well, actually, it's righteousness that you receive from God, and faithfulness that you want to spring out. So those are the words that I'm going to invite you just to breathe for a moment. And then I'm going to give the nod to the folk at the back after we've had a little chance to breathe. And then we're going to play the PowerPoint. So what they say is sit comfortably. You should have 2 feet on the floor. If you've only got 1 foot, I apologize for that. Make yourself comfortable. Just be aware that you are breathing. It's never a bad thing. And on your breath, if my words might not be the words that you need to use. Sometimes people just use Jesus, have mercy. It's one of the oldest prayers that is recorded. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. That's one of the ways that people use this breath. For me this week, it was righteousness and peace. You might receive love and breathe out faithfulness. So I encourage you just to be aware of your breathing as you pause in God's presence.